for Maria, we should have Boney M's Rasputin. Obviously, we are all lovers of the Russian Queen, aren't we? Is that not?
Look at what's his name! Here he comes! Here he comes! The big man! The big man! The big man!
Another please.
Lamb song.
Another please.
Jessica Ennis.
Good night.
Track and Field Podcast. This is Trackcastic.
Welcome everyone to Trackcastic, the fantastic podcast brought to you by Twitter's Athleticos. I'm Jamie at McGann Jamie.
And I'm Gabby at Smoky Mozzarella.
On the show today, we dedicate this episode to the Twitter revelation of 2017, the sassiest high jumper that has ever been, Maria Lasitskeni.
We reflect on Maria's multiple roasting of unsuspecting Athleticos and her devotion to ensuring that we all know how to spell her name correctly.
And we've been following, slash stalking, athletes as they knuckle down to winter training. We reveal who has switched coaches and share all of her many feelings about those changes. Plus, who's booked their place at the Commonwealth Games in Australia? Please welcome the Trackcaster crew.
I'm Carol at Flick22S.
I'm Chris at Chris Brown Sport.
And I'm Kerry at Le Petit Couchon.
Welcome, guys. It's been a while since we did our last podcast. This one's going to be a wee bit different because we're going to devote quite a big chunk of it to our new favourite sassy high jumper. What's her name again, Kerry?
Oh, it's Maria Lasitskeni.
Yay! Yay!
The name that provokes a stroke.
So we spoke about Maria Lasitskeni. I'm just going to keep saying it now so that she knows, if she's listening, that we do know how to pronounce it. Unless, of course, we're pronouncing it wrong, actually.
Well, I'm convinced I'm doing it wrong now.
But we talked about her quite a bit. I think it was in the last podcast, or maybe the one before, where at the end of the World Champs, obviously the women's high jump, and she didn't have her own anthem, and we saw quite a lot of her personality come out after she'd won. I mean, she was all about the composure when she was competing, but then the personality came out, etc., etc. And she really has been the revelation, I think, of social media. And I think with Renata Pliss, obviously, just taking a little step back this year, you know, she's not been doing as much. I think Maria has filled that space a little bit. I've actually just been looking at her Twitter profile, where she does most of her roasting, and folks, she's deleted most of her tweets. There's only 4 tweets on her account now. She's all about the sass and the roasting, but you've got to be quick, otherwise she'll delete it. There's only 4 things on her account now. There's a picture of some Italian article about her. There's a couple of pictures of her and Sergei Shubenkov in, quite frankly, ridiculous Russian uniforms. And then there's something about the world rankings and a few kisses, you know, see you next year, which I think is a bit of shade at the failure to include her in the Athlete of the Year Awards.
You so. Think?
But everything else is gone.
Gabby, is it true that you sent us all a DM saying, let's do an episode on Maria Lasitskeni and go through her Twitter account to find all the sassiest tweets? And then we went to her Twitter account and she deleted everything. Did that happen? Are the Russians stalking her DMs? I need to know that.
Maybe this happened to you as well, but I got a new follower, Vlad Lasitskas.
Maria's hubby. Oh, now, is he following or is he watching?
Vlad, how many fingers am I holding up?
Somebody in my bins yesterday.
Interesting. So this might be a good point to let people know who Maria Lasitskeni really is. So we've mentioned her husband, but prior to marriage, she was known to us as Maria Kachina. Maria was the Youth Olympic Games high jump champion in 2010. She won European Junior Championships in 2011. At her first European Indoor Championship, she won gold in 2015. And her world debut that year, also 2015, she won the gold medal in Beijing. I think many people had her lined up to win the Olympics. I think it would have been an easy victory for her. But given that all the Russian athletes were banned, Maria watched the games from home, and she's quite philosophical about it. She says, "We just accepted it, now we moved on." Last year, some Russian athletes were allowed to compete as neutral, and Maria was one of those athletes that was cleared. She started off 2017 with a new name. I remember a lot of people were kind of going, "Who's this Maria Lasitskene?" It was Maria Kachina, and she obviously won the World Championships in great style. Actually finished 2017 completely unbeaten, dominant in her event. No doubt she's one of the sport's rising stars. What makes Maria different from most Russian athletes is that she is also fluent in English, which makes her, I guess, more accessible to Western fans. But the question is, Gabby, why do you love Maria Lasitskene all of a sudden?
She's done quite a bit of interacting with the Athleticos throughout the year. By interacting, I mean totally taking the piss. I think Ollie Garner won. I think he took the brunt of it, didn't he? He was just minding his own business, offering some commentary about state of women's high jump. I think he might have been on a night out at the time, and he came back 1 o'clock in the morning to find out he'd been totally roasted on Twitter by Maria because he'd spelt her name wrong. Now, to be fair, I think he maybe had one or two drinks, but he took quite a roasting. She played ball quite a lot, you know. She
loved it. And as far as I remember, Ollie didn't even tag her. He just mentioned her name.
No. Spelt it wrong. So she obviously searched for her own name spelt incorrectly.
I love this. I love this. So she has this somewhat Russian spy kind of alias to her now.
Definitely, particularly with the uniform now as well that that she's been wearing. So
very impressive.
She did a Q&A a few weeks ago, half an hour, ask me whatever questions you want and I'll answer them. And her good friend Paul Hunt, PA Hunt 1978, asked her, "Now that Ruth Beattie is retiring, will you be inheriting her invisible piano?" Or words to that effect. And she answered it. She said, "No, thank you very much. I've got my own instrument." it's an Uzi machine gun.
Yes. Yes, Maria, loving it.
The other thing I think about Maria that has been amazing is just the sass, you know.
Yes.
I think earlier in the year, European Athletics do an Athlete of the Month. And I think at that point she jumped 203 or 205 or something, and she wasn't nominated for Athlete of the Month. And she was just giving it all the shade. She was like, "What, is 203 not good enough for Athlete of the Month?" And it's just beautiful because you do find with so many athletes who are live and competing at the moment, sorry, I don't mean live as in alive, because obviously you have sponsors, you have funding commitments, and, you know, there's an element of you have to watch what you say, but she just doesn't care. Although she cares now because she's taking them all down, but I just think that's been really, really refreshing.
Absolutely.
And particularly just given around some of the challenges with the Russian squad as well. I think she's been quite outspoken about the Russian Federation at one point, and I can't check it because she's deleted it. But she was saying that she didn't think there'd been enough progress made. And she was very clear that I think she was talking about the Federation rather than the country. But yeah, it's quite nice just to see competing current athletes having a viewpoint and sticking up for themselves.
You know, because there very well may be plenty of Russian athletes who do the same, but they do it in Russian. Whereas Maria has a great command of the English language, and it really, but it makes her more of an appealing figure even to sponsors if she can cross over then into Western Europe too.
Absolutely. I mean, there was one thing, she'd picked up someone, you know, one of the many Athleticos who'd spelt her name wrong. And there was a little thread, you know, of discussion followed after it. And I purposely wrote something in colloquialisms to see if she would catch it. And she did. I see you and I know what you're saying. And here's my little thumbs up gift to know that I'm watching you. So I think she's great.
Earlier this year, because she'd been absent for so long and kind of forgotten about her. And then obviously there was the incident in the first Diamond League where nobody knew who Maria Lasitskene was, so nobody put her in their fancy Diamond League team.
So, Russian athletes at the World Championships this year competed under their neutral flag and stood on a podium with a neutral anthem. Now, our very own Dr. Dan O'Connor posed the question on Twitter that if you were a neutral athlete and you had to have your very own anthem, what would it be?
I've actually jotted down what at least one person on this podcast said at the time. So don't try and come up with a better answer. So, I mean, Dr. Dan said that if he had to pick his anthem, you know, if he was on the podium, he'd pick the Dallas theme, which, you know, I think seems about right. Seamus Kay suggested actually for Maria, the Wonder Woman theme from the 70s.
Yes.
Quite a nice one.
Oh, nailed it.
Very good.
So what do we think, guys? And Jamie, I do know what you said at the time, so let's see if you remember.
But it's also important to note that this is a podcast, and with the magic of podcasts, whatever you guys choose, I'm going to play it intermittently throughout this freaking episode. So choose wisely.
Jamie, do you remember what your anthem would be if you were on top of the podium?
I actually haven't a clue.
You commented on this back in August. Well, you had two. You had two. You said that for the Olympics, you would want your anthem to be the MacGyver theme.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, this is for me personally, not for Maria. Okay, yeah, MacGyver. Personally,
yeah.
Yeah, ace. MacGyver.
You did have another one. You said, so if it wasn't the Olympics, you would have an alternative. Can you remember what you said?
Maybe Father Ted.
My lovely horse.
Yay! Brilliant.
Well, I think mine would be it would be holding out for a hero because it needs a wind machine, and I think if you're on the podium,
yes,
you want a wind machine. So that would be that would be my choice. So.
Very good, Gabby.
I've not put a lot of thought into this at all.
You put a wind machine into it. That's enough.
you know, I think for me, I'm quite a big fan of 80s power anthems. So I'd probably go for the Final Countdown. It's the Final
Countdown!
I think that might get shouted along too. And if I was picking one for Maria, just to have a bit of sassiness added to the Bond theme from Russia with Love.
For Maria, we should have Boney M's Rasputin. Obviously, we are lovers of the Russian Queen, aren't we? Is that not?
Kerry.
Well, it's like Carol, it's going to be something from the 80s.
Hmm.
Well, the first one that popped to mind doesn't really fit because it was St. Elmo's Fire, but that's about a man in motion, and I'm not a man in motion. Unless something changes. Oh, I can't remember who sings it. It's the woman from The Karate Kid. You're the best around, that one.
You're the best around.
Yes, that's a good one.
Nothing breaking me down. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm feeling that.
Make me believe in myself.
I like that. Yeah. Make you believe in yourself. I love it. Always believe in yourself, Kerry.
I will.
You're a strong, confident, powerful woman.
Sometimes when I'm really bored, I have arguments with Siri, you know, the app on if you've got an iPhone, you know, it's the kind of the voice activated thing. And I always have these arguments with Siri because if you have any kind of accent, it just doesn't pick it up at all. So I thought I would use Siri to find out a little bit about Maria Lasitskeni.
Ooh.
And I actually then spent about half an hour trying to find out about lots and lots of different high jumpers on Siri. But I won't do that just now. I'll post that on Twitter after the podcast goes live.
Maria classics,
whenever I did it, it kept saying I can't something about Maria in Kenya. I can't find this person in your contacts. I'm like, well, yeah, she's not there. I can do it now because I've got an iPad in front of me.
Oh, go for it. Go for it. Oh, here, live technology, people.
Siri, tell me more about Maria Lasitskeni.
Here's what I found on the web, Maria Lasitskeni.
Maria Lasitskeni.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Will she... Oh, hang on, I've got a good pun here. Will she remain the top high jumper in 2018?
I don't get the pun.
The remains of lettuce. Cut that out, please.
That was ridiculous.
So it was the year that Maria Cucina got married and became Maria Lasitskeni. But there has been quite a few athletics weddings recently. I know that Claudia Salmon-Rath got married this year, although I'm slightly confused because I assumed that at least one of the Salmons of the Raths was her married name, and then she got married again. So
exactly that. So is Salmon the wedding name then? Is Salmon, not that it matters, you can have whatever name you like, but is that what's going on?
Well, she was Rath, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Originally. She was Rath last year, and then she had a Salmon appear. But I'm pretty sure that she got married quite recently. I mean, literally a couple of months ago. And we were already referring to her as Salmon Rath this year. I think Emma Coburn got married. Uncle Tim will be...
I can still hear him crying.
You probably wouldn't be able to cope with her, like, American grammar. She was ranting about the destruction of the English language on Twitter the other night.
Yeah. And somebody said, like, everybody has an Uncle Tim in their family. And I think Ian Sharp's like, I've got six. It's true.
Well, one of my favourites over the last couple of weeks has been Hans van Alphen. He has about four kids already, so he's kind of definitely kind of, you know, been a family man for the last few years. But there was coverage of the wedding on Instagram or whatever. And what I really like about this is that I don't know if it was the invitations or just the way that they put it on Instagram, but it was like the front of a Barbara Cartland novel. And Jamie, I'll give you the artwork so you can link to it if you want. It was this kind of shirtless cartoony thing, you know, with damsel kind of draped over kind of a tree or something. It was such a kind of an old fashioned Barbara Cartland kind of cover. It was really, really, really funny. So
love it.
A bit of humour from the Decathletes of Europe. Of course, another Decathlete of Europe got engaged this week in a fairly public way. Denisa Rosolova, the Czech 400 hurdler. She was proposed to this weekend at the Czech Athlete of the Year Awards. Does anyone know who proposed to her?
So I can never remember the javelin guy's name. So I keep thinking like Vlaždek.
It was neither Jakub Vadlik nor Pavel Fajdek.
You are joking me.
It was actually Adam Sebastian Hillslip.
Oh yeah.
because we saw him. Yeah.
Okay, that begs the question, ladies. What do you make of somebody proposing to somebody in such a public environment?
Yeah, no, not good. I don't like it. Presumptuous.
At least he doesn't have to pay for dinner.
Yes. It's like, what big event have I got coming up where I'll have a suit anyway, it's paid for, I don't it'll actually need to spring for dinner, everyone, yeah, she'll be wearing a dress. I don't know if you noticed this, but at the Czech Athletic Award, and this was something I followed in great detail, so everyone, but they all got a bunch of flowers, but also like a little in a box, but the little box looked like an engagement ring. So if you look at some of the pictures, it looks like Jan Zalesny has the engagement ring in a box.
Love it. Yeah, I love it.
Congratulations, the health selects.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
Did you see Paul Hunt's tweet as well about it? Because obviously she used to be a heptathlete, didn't she? And obviously all the heptathletes have triple-barreled names now, whatever double-barreled names. And he's like, so he did. Well, that's what, you know, obviously because she would now be Denisa Rosolova Sebastian Helselet. So she can win all the goals in all the events.
True story.
So Richard Kilsey posted some photos from his wedding and he did a little close-up of a window. He's like, look in the window, there's some ghosts. And there's some shady looking children in the window.
No way. But that's interesting because I'm pretty sure that's what people used to say about him when he was a child.
Look at that shady looking child in the window.
Yep.
It was Wade Van Niekerk. And that was really nice. He looked very, very loved up. I mean, I'm assuming he was going down the aisle in a stookie because he hurt his something, didn't he? Playing something he shouldn't have been doing.
Yeah, his ACL.
Has anyone got a more technical explanation of that?
It's like two ligaments in your knee that are in a cross. It's basically what stops your knee from flipping forwards.
Pretty disgusting.
Oh, thanks for that.
Yeah.
So was he playing football or rugby or something?
Rugby.
I think it was rugby.
Some sort of
touch rugby, I think it was.
Touch rugby.
So this is quite an interesting topic. It's athletes who do things that are quite risky. I mean, I think it's okay when you're retired, you know, because I know Colin Jackson and others went on Strictly, and who can forget Steve Backlay on...
Sorry, Steve Backlay on Dancing with Ice, and Ned is a new competitor in Dancing with Ice this year, because Perry's gone. And initially, not to be too judgmental, but initially I thought, oh, Perry, you've just come back, you're doing really well, like... This is going to end in disaster, but it transpired that Perry.
Me.
Have you been cut from funding, Kerry?
Kerry and Perry. Yeah, it transpired. It transpired that needs must for Perry because she had been cut from funding. Chris, were you paying attention to the funding announcements this week?
Yeah, as ever, it was interesting. But I guess from Perry's point of view, I think she probably... would be getting a lot more money doing Dancing on Ice than she ever would have got on any sort of funding. Probably at least 50 grand, I guess. But so I guess for her it makes sense if she doesn't get injured that she will be able to fund the rest of her year. But it just seems a bit weird that it's like you say, she's just come back.
Mm.
She's obviously not going to do the World Indoors. And then she's in the Commonwealth Relay team. And I'm surely the show is still going to be going on then, isn't it?
I don't know. When does it start?
I think it starts pretty close to the new year.
Yeah. Right.
And it'll probably run for about 10
weeks. Post-Christmas thing.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe.
I can't see a lot of training that's non-ice related getting done.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a goodbye. Is that not a goodbye to the sport? Because it's so dangerous. She can't hurdle. You know, she's a 400 meter hurdler and she can't hurdle because of her injury. Mm-hmm. And she's going to go ice skate. So. I know it took her a long time to come back. I know she was probably aiming to try to get back for Rio. She got back for London and she got a silver medal. So it's nice that she can at least leave the sport in her own terms. Yeah.
Yeah, I could understand it if it was like, if it wasn't this, obviously because of the Commonwealth's early this year, I could understand it if it was, there was no big tournaments like until the summer. But it's the fact that there's a World Indoors in her own country and a Commonwealth Games in the spring.
I think the team flies out at the end of March.
But to me, that feels like she's taken herself out of contention by doing that.
I mean, it can go either way. I know that I think the British skier, Shemi Alcott, did Dancing on Ice because she'd had a knee issue. She'd bust a knee in an event and she used it to kind of strengthen her knee to get back to skiing. And she did then compete in Sochi 2 years later. So that did help. But then also on the flip side, Jade Johnson did Strictly and bust her knee and then was out for like 2 years. So, like you say, for a current athlete to do a show like that, it's risky regardless, isn't it?
But I'll be wincing every time she goes on.
Yeah. You know, I know every year there's always a moan and complaint, but this year it feels really just so what the fuck. Like, Laura Waitman gets no funding. It's crazy. So, yeah, I mean...
I can't understand the Laura decision at all. I mean, she was top six in the World Champs, ran PBs all year, fastest 1500 for like 3 years. And then she's not even... anywhere on funding. I mean, is it an age thing? It makes you wonder, doesn't it? Like, oh, she's over 25 or whatever. And
Miguel Francis on relay funding. Yeah. He's not even run for us.
Yeah.
He's been injured for, what, a year and a half?
Disgraceful.
That is offensive to people who've run in relay teams and won medals and contributed and turned up to training camps and put in the effort. And not getting anything out of it.
And given their heart and soul, like Laura Waitman made them money last year. Like we paid money to go and see her in the World Championships and she performed like an absolute legend. She made huge improvements. Turn around then and just, you know, not give her any funding for the year. It's a fucking disgrace. And just the lack of transparency in UK athletics bothers me so much. But there was a really interesting article today by Sean Ingle. Did anybody see it in The Independent?
Yeah,
I've not read it yet. But...
basically, the idea is that like an independent union in sports wouldn't only combat well-publicized issues in British sport, it would also give athletes a voice and ensure greater transparency. Not just in terms of selection, but in terms of funding.
Especially, because obviously the gymnasts are all complaining at the moment about they're having to sign this contract and they're all refusing to sign it because, you know, they're signing their lives away. They can't. Like badmouth the federation or anything, and like Guy Learmonth's tweets this week were all quite interesting. How he's like, he was just saying, "Oh, I don't fit in. I'm not with the right group. Or if I was training in Loughborough, I'd be sponsored or whatever." You know, it's is a little bit too political in terms of who you're with, who you're training with and what you're doing. And if you're not in that system, then you're just not going to get funded, which is shoddy, not fair. It's a bit of a backward system, really.
Chris, you mentioned gymnastics, and I think within certain sports, when there's no transparency and you're reliant on people in positions of power to make decisions and to give you money, it makes you very vulnerable, particularly when you start a sport as a young kid, because you're so impressionable and you spend all your time training, but also trying to please people.
I think more people are speaking out now, so hopefully there will be a culture of change, especially with social media being such a powerful tool now. Mm. But then that's a good and bad thing, because whenever it's like funding lists are announced, you go on Twitter and there's half the people saying, why haven't I been funded, or why hasn't so-and-so been funded?
Yeah.
And then there's the athletes then going, oh, thanks once again for funding me. And it's all like, all blatantly been told to write that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, come on, this is just, you're not helping anyone here.
Yeah.
If you're on relay funding, you're actually getting funded 28,000. But the B level, which I think Adam and Zarnell are on, get 21.
I'm sorry. So, what?
I thought it might also be based around Olympic cycles, so because he came fourth in the Olympics, he retained podium.
Oh, hang on.
That's how Dai Quyen stuck on podium for so many years, because he was fourth in London.
So effectively, he's being financially punished for coming fourth in the individual, because he is better in the relay and would make more money, but because he came fourth in the Olympics, he's being financially harmed. Is that right?
I'm not sure, but I thought that's what it could be.
There is something in the small print on like the 20-page document that you can download from the UK Athletics website about funding. it's on pages 15 and 17. I figured out that if you're a B-level athlete but you're an A-level of the relay, you get the A-level money. It's confusing.
Okay.
I think they can also be offered podium or relay and choose, because it's easier to get kicked off podium than it is off relay.
Oh, interesting.
And I think that's what Ailey Doyle has done in the past.
Okay. Yeah, I do think there is an A and a B for the relay as well.
Yeah.
So you could imagine the A team as such would be on the top level.
God.
But that's what I mean. It's just a very convoluted way, I think, for the public looking at the list. It's Athletics Weekly, they put an article about why is Nathaniel on podium, relay, and Adam is on podium, and Adam responded to it saying, we're on podium, but they'll be getting more money than us being on relay. You know, you're the media, get your facts right, sort of thing.
Oh my gosh.
I know that the English Commonwealth Games squad was announced, and do they feel related in any way?
I wouldn't have thought so, because that's England Athletics versus UKA.
No, because I think certainly the 200 for England, it's Zarnell and Nathaniel and Danny.
Uh-huh.
And the 100 is
Adam.
James Desalu.
I think that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, and then it looks like the whole sort of Speedworks group obviously didn't put themselves up for selection, so there's no CJ, OG, Daryl, you know.
Okay.
So it's kind of as you would have expected, and again, the relay squad is basically the Fab Four minus CJ, James Desalu, and...
No Rhys Prescott, no, for Commonwealth?
None of
Jonas's group seem to have...
I think they're all doing World Indoors. I think that's their goal.
Any surprises with Commonwealth game selection?
Well, obviously, whenever you read the team, you think, why is so-and-so not there? Then you realise they're either Welsh or Scottish.
The Commonwealth rankings. We have people who are in fifth and sixth place who aren't going.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Which is crazy because of the lack of space, I suppose, from a financial point of view. So male pole vault in the Commonwealth is pretty poor. Guys, is it Leon? Joel Benitez, the young kid?
Nice, he's scary.
He's like ranked sixth in the Commonwealth and he's not going.
Wow. The Commonwealth is such a good event for people to go to. Like, we've seen people like Iona Lake and the team in the steeplechase. This is a great chance for her. Then there's people like Jess Turner who aren't in the team.
Yeah.
And she had a great year this year. And you just think, how are they deciding who goes and who doesn't?
Well, they said to her she wasn't going to make the final.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at the rankings, there's a load of Jamaicans above her. Who's to say that they're even going to bother to go?
So, guys, you mentioned earlier CJ, right? And the Speedworks groups. Can anybody clarify, is CJ still with Jonas? Or has he gone to America full-time, or what's going on?
I can clarify, actually. I spoke to his agent today.
In time.
He's now under Stuart McMillan at Altis, but he's splitting his time between here and there, basically.
Right.
So he'll go there for extended training spells, but then he will still be here quite a lot. So DeGrasse is obviously training with him as well. So
yeah, great. That sounds ideal. Any other real coaching changes that we've noticed? Kerry, I know that you're... We call you the Jessica Fletcher / Angela Lansbury.
I've been getting my marple on. Beadworks. Imani. Is it Lansiquot?
Lansico.
And OG, they've both gone to Steve Fudge.
That's interesting, isn't it? Who's with Steve Fudge at the moment?
Asher Phillips.
Yeah. Ash is there.
And Hannah Bryan. Because everybody left Fudge.
Yeah. Now they go
after Rio, because he had James DeSalu and Adam. And then everybody seemed to flood away, and it was Speedworks was where it was at, with the sort of young sprint crew, and now they're all going back to Loughborough.
Bundy Davis.
Zaren Bundy Davis has gone to a friend of the show, Matt Elias.
Yep! Whoop!
And Niall Flannery as well. He's gone to Cardiff.
I am loving it.
Jasmine Sawyers and Matt Hudson-Smith have both gone to Florida.
What do we reckon about that change?
I did see that he put a tweet out or something. He was chatting to someone, and I think Martin Rooney said, "Is that your cooking or something?" He was like, "Oh, it's Jasmine." So I'm assuming that Jazz is looking after him.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So cute. Yeah.
Friendship group that came up through the juniors together. So
yeah,
she's probably looking out for him. They're with Lance Browman. He famously coached Tyson Gay from jail.
He did.
There we are.
And he was in jail for fraud, wasn't he?
Yeah, to do with scholarships in
America. Oh, God. But he coached Joyce Madwaka as well from jail, and she came fourth in European.
She was robbed. We know
She was robbed. Khabarova, and let's not get sidetracked here. Anyway.
My favourite thing reading the funding list was seeing that David Omaregi is now coached by Brigitte Foster-Hilton. Yes.
That is random. But I'm happy to see Foster Hilton back. She was full of drama as an athlete. I can only imagine what she's going to do as a... Do you remember she face planted in 2003? She was...
Yes.
Oh my God.
Do we know if she coaches anyone else?
Well, that's what I thought. I didn't even know she was a coach. So
she just typed that in.
Yeah.
Just to throw everyone.
Well, maybe, I don't know, obviously Danielle Williams is Jamaican. Just guessing, maybe.
So no one else that we need to talk about in terms of coaching changes, is there?
Well, there's Mo has left Salazar.
Oh yeah.
Indeed. So that's a big change. What do you make of that, Gabby? Are you happy about that?
I'm not really sure much I care, to be honest. to be quite frank. But what is quite interesting out of it is that he's going to Gary Loff, so Mr. Radcliffe. So I'm just going to be really interested the first time, or the first couple of times we see Mo running now, whether there's anything demonstrably different about the way he runs and the way he interacts with those around him. So
I've got some Foster Hilton coaching news.
Some breaking news.
She actually coaches Ronald Levy, who had a pretty decent year this year.
Yeah. So,
okay.
She's part of the MVP track club with Stephen Francis, the joint coach. Okay.
Stop it. There you go. You learn something new every day listening to Trackastic. Thanks for that, Chris. Loving it.
Yeah, it was really good to see Shalane Flanagan win New York Marathon. The first American woman to win for like 30 years or something, 40 years maybe.
But what she swore she was crossing the line or something, didn't she? She did kind of a bit of a Team America fuck yeah or something like that. She was crossing the line.
I think all 11 of her training partners have made the Olympics or something during her career.
No way.
Some weird stuff about that. Like, she has a great record of her training partners making the Olympics.
Wow. She does seem to be a really good team player, doesn't she? She seems a really good sport. Shalane Flanagan, really like her. I wanted Mary Catani to win because I love Mary Catani, but I'm happy for Shalane.
Mary apparently got her period halfway through the marathon.
You are joking me.
So, I won't say we've all been there, but those.
Well, not all of us.
Of us who know on the podcast have all been there. So.
I didn't know that. Oh, poor Mary. Yeah. Obviously, such a significant variable that men definitely never think about. But,
yeah.
So it's getting towards the end of the year, which means that it's time for our end of year special. Last year, we did the 12 Days of Christmas. This year, we're going to do a very special Trackastic production of A Christmas Carol. Which athleticos or athletes would you like to see cast as Scrooge? Who would be Tiny Tim? Who would be the ghost of athletics past, future, and the ghost of athletics present? Tune in to the next episode.
It's going to be our 20th episode. Ooh. I cannot believe that people have endured 20 episodes of this amazing podcast. Sorry, did I say endured? I meant enjoyed 20 episodes. This amazing podcast. We're really looking forward to that one. Guys, thank you so much for listening. I've been Jamie at McGann Jamie.
I've been Gabby at Smoky Mozzarella.
I've been Carol at Flick22S.
I've been Chris at Chris Brown Sport.
And I've been Kerry at the Petit Cushion.
We'll see you for a 20th.
Another please. Another please.
Bramson.
Another please.